Hello and welcome all to another episode of Voices from the Grid. I'm your host for this episode, the Pink Ranger, Brian Massey, joined as always by the Blue Ranger, Michael Lindenbaum.
Howdy. I upright.
How are you doing today, sir?
I am upright.
Okay. I guess I got my answer before I even asked. I got my coffee. I'm here to record with you today, sir, that we've got three fantastic, more phenomenal episodes. We have Clash of the Megazords, The Robot Ranger, and Beware the Third Wish. And let's just go ahead and get into it with Clash of the Megazords. The Ranger Wiki synopsis says, it's a race against time for the Power Rangers, where not only do they try to retrieve the Phantom Rangers' power room from Divatox, but also use the Rescue Megazord to battle the Turbo Megazord, piloted by Crosspatch and four Chromites. This is the conclusion of the seven-episode Phantom Ranger arc, which I don't believe I actually got to watch any of those. So I'm loving coming in at the end of this.
Actually, because we had to do a schedule changing, you do see the episodes. You just haven't watched them yet because you haven't recorded the episodes yet. Because we record out of order.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We did some inside baseball, like, right at the top of the episode. I'm so sorry. But yeah.
So you actually have the entire seven episode thing. You just haven't seen the other six episodes yet because you haven't recorded with Sasha yet.
Am I doing some Bill and Ted crap right now?
Yes.
Wow. 69, dude. Anyways, so let's go ahead and get into this episode. I got some questions for you. So what are your thoughts on this conclusion of the Phantom Ranger arc? And also, what are your thoughts on the Phantom Ranger? And also, do you think, as a side note, do you think he should have been released with the Lightning Collection as a Turbo Ranger or an In-Space Ranger? What are your thoughts on the Rangers himself, sir?
Phantom Ranger, I thought it was fine for the seven episode arc that he had because it also served the purpose of, let's see here, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So like it actually served its purpose because if you're thinking about this, Phantom Phenomenon is the fourth episode after Passing the Torch is done.
Right.
So Stitch Witchery, The Wheel of Fate, Trouble by the Slice, those three episodes are kind of establishing some of the Rangers, like, more individual, whereas mm-hmm. the Phantom Phenomenon brings in this second or sixth Ranger, per se, that they, you know, have this working relationship, and it kind of builds more of the team. So, you know, like, more of the teamwork. And then also develop some more of the characters themselves. So, like, that's kind of how I kind of view it. Because, you know, you gotta, it's something where it's like, okay, you have to give some major storyline arc to these guys because they just came in.
Yeah, it's their first, you could argue it's their first real, like, trial as a Ranger. It's their first real, like, big, like, it's almost like their first kind of, like, on the scale of like green with evil kind of like thing that they have to go through.
Yeah.
Obviously not the same situation, but like stakes are kind of as high.
Yeah. And not only that, but it's like as great as it was to see TJ cooked into a pizza. We need real high stakes instead.
Yeah. Yeah. Not am I going to be a supreme pizza that's delivered on Super Bowl Sunday. So let's see here. So the Turbo Megazord, despite being powered by the Phantom Ranger's Ruby into a battery pack, has to recharge right at the beginning of this fight. So my question for you is, did they steal these batteries from Serpentera or something?
Yes.
Like, I swear to God, I was like, this makes no sense. Like, and I feel like this had to have been something with the Sentai footage because I don't know if like the Ruby was like that looked like that was American footage when like they were trying to pull that out of like the slot. So I don't know if in like Car Ranger like that was what was happening or if like it was just a separate battery pack thing that was happening there and they had to just justify, like, oh, well, the battery has to recharge or something. But it made no sense. The only thing I could think of was, like, what's the other big lumbering Zord that runs on batteries that, like, you know, oh, I took a step, I need to recharge. So,
yeah.
But yeah. By the way, we get this really awesome fight on top of the battery pack between TJ and Crosspatch. Like, what did you think of that fight? Like,
you know, it was good because TJ, you know, in a way is kind of like the leader of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And so he needs to, you know, I don't want to say set himself apart from the group, but in a way kind of needs to, you know, establish himself as a leader. And by, yeah. You know, and here's the thing, he has the plan that brings him into this fight, you know, and stuff like that. So it's his plan. So he's trying to, like, stretch his abilities as a leader. And that's how I kind of see it.
Yeah, I really loved how that ended with Crosspatch, falling off the battery pack, TJ, like, cutting it off, and, like, Crosspatch basically getting smashed by it. I thought that was a really fun little, like, end to him before, you know, he got groaned up. But, yeah, I think that it absolutely sets up TJ, like, oh, yeah, like, this is the new leader of the Power Rangers moving forward. I think it does a really good job of, like, kind of cementing that for him.
And not only that, but there's a moment in the fight, too, where, like, because here's the thing. TJ has technically been bested by Crosspatch, I believe. And there's a moment where they're fighting on the Megazord. And, you know, TJ drops his Turbo Blade. But then he's able to turn the table and kick Crosspatch off the Megazord instead to then take the Ruby and destroy the battery pack. I think that shows that TJ is learning.
Yeah.
You know,
I completely agree with you.
So
he's coming into his own as a Red Ranger. So it's been a while, and I remember watching when Demetrius showed up, and I got a question for you, because you might know this better than I, but when did Demetrius stop talking in questions?
I don't know. I didn't watch Turbo when it aired.
I didn't either. I watched, like, a couple of episodes, and then I basically was kind of like, I was like 10 years old, and I kept getting told by people, that's baby stuff, you should stop watching that. And so I kind of did for a bit. So I think honestly, I got to the point where I didn't even see Demetria. That's how, like, early off I, like, stopped watching Power Rangers when Turbo was on. So, like, I'm watching, and Demetria is, like, a new entity for me. And the whole thing that was interesting about her was she speaks in questions. And I guess they got rid of that because maybe it was annoying. I don't know.
Like, No. She still talks in questions. It's just, I don't think they ever got rid of it, but I think there had to be moments where a question was not the right way to send a message.
Fair enough. Okay. I was going to say, because, like, I don't think she asked an entire, like, any question at all this episode. So I was kind of put off by that a little bit. But so out of this fight, I got a question for you. Which Megazord do you like better? Do you like the Rescue Megazord better or the Turbo Megazord better?
No preference.
No preference?
Yeah.
I think the Rescue Megazord is, like, a precursor to the Lightspeed Rescue Megazord.
Maybe?
Not just because it's called the Rescue, but it aesthetically looks kind of like that one. And maybe they were testing something out for that, and I don't know. Let's see here. Yeah, as for this episode, I think that's really all the questions I have for this episode.
There was no Bulk and Skull in this episode.
There was no Bulk and Skull.
This is a complete Power Rangers episode.
Yeah, there nothing. And also, like, the trivia on here is like a big old goose egg on the White Ranger Wiki. It's just like, okay, there was some kind of discrepancy between like Car Ranger and this episode. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I mean, I care, but like, I it's
Anyways,
so,
moving on to Robot Ranger.
moving on to Robot Rangers. Now let's move on to Robot Ranger.
This one was kind of a fun one.
I'm not gonna lie, I really, really liked this episode. This is the 30th episode of Power Rangers Turbo, and introduces the Robot Rangers, which form the third set of Robot Rangers. The Ranger Wiki synopsis is Justin begins to notice something strange going on with his teammates. Ashley's got wire in her forearms, and Carlos's face can come off. This all leads to Justin to suspect that his friends have been replaced by robots. Meanwhile, Bulk and Skull take up jobs as tennis instructors, because why not?
Yes.
So there's no context that's given at all when this episode opens up. Ashley is just suddenly a robot. What did you think of this reveal, like right before the titles?
I thought, watching it first, it was confusing, but it's like, okay, we're having this, what's the name of the thing? Like it's like the invasion of the body snatchers, I guess is the best way to kind of put it. Like you have, it's kind of like that in a way. You're getting like that kind of vibes. And it's like obviously it also makes sense because Justin at the end of the day is still a kid. Like literally.
Yes.
And kids have rampant imaginations. So it's like you can play it off as that kind of thing is like, oh, well, maybe Justin just been in too many fights and too many hits to the head, so he's just seeing things.
Yeah.
Not trying to make fun of concussions, but you know.
No. I mean, I was like, well, Ashley's her forearm, like, she's like got all these like wires and stuff. And I was like, maybe he saw like Return of the Jedi or something, and like Luke's hand made a big impression on him or something, and he's just like, kind of thinking that or something. I don't know, but certainly it was a really strong intro, and what really caught me off guard was like I felt like I missed something. Like I honestly felt like I had missed like an episode or something, and so they did a really good job of
Which we
like,
obviously didn't because it was the very next episode after Clash of the Megazords.
it felt like it worked with that kind of like non-linear. I mean, it's a linear episodic narrative, but like it's loose enough that like they have space to work around where like you don't know if you missed something, and I like that.
Yeah. It makes you think that you missed something when in reality you didn't.
Now Carlos is like the only seemingly normal ranger aside from Justin, and they have this big fight and they all roll down a hill, and Justin is like on guard because TJ, Cassie, and Ashley are all robots seemingly, and so he goes to Carlos, and all of a sudden Carlos is doing his best Nicolas Cage impression because his face is off all of a sudden. And how freaked out did that make you when you were watching this? Because like, I'm not gonna lie, like I was a little shook by that. Like obviously I'm 36 years old and like I've seen plenty of other stuff that's way scarier, but like that was kind of unsettling.
It didn't unsettle me because I love the movie Face Off,
Yeah.
and that is such an iconic scene from the film. So, but yeah, I mean, but it made sense of how you're going to reveal that Carlos is also one. It's like you have him fall down and the face comes off, and he obviously Carlos cuts off like nothing happened. So it makes sense, to do it that way.
And it felt so much like a 60s like invasion, like zombie slash like, like you said, invasion of the body snatchers kind of thing, where like all of a sudden like the secret's out, and like they kind of go stoic and they're like, you, and like they're chasing him. I love that kind of stuff. I thought that was really like well done. So let's talk about the thing I really want to talk about. So all the Rangers go to the command center, and Justin kind of gets tagged along, and Justin's freaking out. He's talking to Alpha. Hey, everybody's a robot. And Alpha's like, whoa, hey, whoa. How is that a bad thing? Right? He's like, no, not like that. And I'm like, okay. But you find out that, like, yeah, this was all kind of premeditated. Like, all these Rangers are, like in on it. And then out comes another Justin, and you think that that's the robot. But the Justin that we've been following this entire episode is the robot, and he doesn't know that he's a robot.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, this is the first time in a long time with Power Rangers that my mind has kind of been blown. That kind of blew my mind a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good mind blowing though, because it's like, you kind of need that from time to time, because you need something that kind of catches
Yeah.
you off guard, especially for a kids show that we obviously take way too seriously.
Yeah. It just, like, I'm not gonna lie, it really kind of took me off guard. I was like, oh, because I don't know. I was kind of expecting the whole time that, like, oh, Justin's gonna wake up from a nightmare, or it's gonna be a fantasy thing, or like, oh, like, he's like writing a story or something. It's gonna be some kind of like Marvel what if kind of scenario. And instead, you find out no, Zordon and Alpha are creating their own team of Rangers. Like, they've been making them on Eltar, and they brought them here to like test them out. And like,
You mean Demetria?
Demetria brought them here, but like Zordon and Alpha created them on Eltar.
Yeah.
And so, like, you find out that like the robot Justin didn't know that he's a robot. They turned off his like internal memory sensors or whatever, because they wanted to test if he could be the realest boy, but also like they wanted to Pinocchio him, kind of sorta. They wanted to see if like how real they could make these things, and I guess they succeeded. I don't know if like we ever see do we ever see the Robot Rangers again? I'm not
I don't
sure.
think so.
Well, I think that that's kind of an interesting implication, because you and Ben having that conversation about like if Zordon can create like the White Ranger, why doesn't he not create another one the whole time? This kind of is like an answer to Ben's question. It's like, well, he literally just created five more Rangers. Maybe he should just keep doing that. I don't know.
What hand did Billy have in this?
God, I don't, man, oof. That's a great question. And you know what's funny? That'd be so cool if they had mentioned that in Once and Always, or if they mentioned that in like Cosmic Fury, but it's probably not gonna happen. This is probably like a one-off thing. But that would be so cool if like Billy like drops some line. It's like, yeah, I've been making these Robot Rangers. And then I don't know.
I mean, he always fixed Alpha 5.
Yeah. Secretly, I'm wishing that like he's creating these whole teams of like Robot Rangers for like Cosmic Fury, so that way you can get.
He's essentially doing what Iron Man tried to do, put a suit of armor around the world.
I like it. I like that. And like this can
B
be a
B
way to
Billy
act.
Cranston is really Iron Man.
I like it. Cranston Tech. Heck yeah. And that way you can get like all the Sentai teams that like have not been adapted yet or something. I mean, I don't know. So let's real fast, like how nothing are these monsters? We have Flashhead and the Voltmaster. We have two monsters this episode.
I
The
mean,
Flash Monster.
I'm not even going to bother talking about them because they were mute. The whole point of this story was the whole Robot Rangers thing.
I completely agree with you, sir.
Like, I hate saying it, but the monsters are just throwaways for the whole point of, for the just as back end of the story of going like, oh yeah, we have a fight these Rangers, and that's how you get more reveals of that they're robots and stuff like that. Leading to
Yeah.
them going to, to the command center for the huge reveal. So it's like they're just throwaways. Hate saying that, but they are.
Yeah. Let's see here. There's some errors on here I think would be interesting. So Justin automatically assumed that Robot Ashley was evil despite knowing that robots such as the Blue Centurion could be good. Also Alpha 6.
Okay, listen. The way Alpha 6 talks, that's evil, okay?
Yo, 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 Rangers! Oh, God, I hate Alpha 6. And
I think everybody hates Alpha 6.
It has been stated in previous Ranger series that more than one Ranger cannot share the same power of an existing Ranger, i.e. there cannot exist at one time two Red Turbo Rangers. It is currently unknown how the Turbo Power Rangers can share their powers with the Robo Power Ranger team. Now, I feel like Once and Always might have explained that away, but like that still does not explain like the current situation with Turbo. So let's see here. And then a lot of shots were cut from this episode, specifically the fight against Flashhead, to them featuring the White Racer. So, yeah. This episode was interesting. Honestly, this is probably my favorite episode I've reviewed so far. Because it was surprising, and it was interesting, and it caught me off guard.
Yep.
If you don't have anything else, we can move on to the next episode.
Yep.
Which is Beware the Third Wish. Beware the Third Wish is the 31st episode of Power Rangers Turbo, the first of a two-part story arc, which features the wishing coins from the Wicked Wisher that turned the Blue Centurion evil. And the synopsis here is that Divatox summons the Wicked Wisher, who's a giant coin purse, who gives her three wishing coins. The first one is used by Elgar to give himself beautiful, luxurious, flowing hair. The second
and
one
it
is
was it was nice, but it's not as good as mine. I'm having a bad hair day, so you know.
I mean, girl, you have to face up against mine, okay? I done went and dyed mine and everything.
Work would look at me going, Mike, what's wrong with you? If I did that,
I fell in a pool of Kool-Aid. Let's see here. The second one is used to make Blue Centurion evil, and the third one, which is Justin's lucky coin given to him by his father, falls to Earth and is found by Bulk and Skull. Power Rangers battle Blue Centurion, but can't manage to defeat him without hurting him. Okay. So, I guess... Okay, so what are your thoughts on Justin's wish for his dad to come home? Because, like, it's so crazy that, like, I don't know. I remember watching the movie and it's like thinking that, oh, he's an orphan, but then like his dad shows back up and like now he's trying to, like, I don't know. He's got,
I mean, technically speaking, he's never been an official orphan. Like, yes, he was with the orphanage, but it was never specified that he was actually legitimately an orphan, especially knowing the fact that his father was in fact around. But was always traveling on business and stuff like that. He probably stayed at the orphanage when his father is away, so he wasn't home alone all the time because of how old he was.
Ah, okay.
Like, that is at least how I always understood it. And yeah. It makes more sense that way, too. So that's just how I understand it.
Yeah.
So.
Just getting the kind of, like, inconsequential stuff out of the way.
But to answer your question, though, about the wish.
Yeah.
It makes sense because it's been noted that his father is never around and that he would love for his father to be around more. And so it makes sense. He's a kid who misses his dad.
Yeah. You know? He wants his dad. He wants his dad back. Now, the coins in question. Now, Justin's coin looks like a doubloon, but it also it's a coin from Costa Rica. Divatox's three coins are that coin, and then one of them looks like a half dollar, like with Kennedy's, and then the other one, I thought this would be interesting, is a toonie.
Would you like to explain what a toonie is to people who may not know?
So a toonie is a $2 coin from Canada, or Canada, and it's got a bear on the one end, and it's got Queen Elizabeth II on the other end. It's basically a $2 denominational coin.
Which obviously that's going to change soon.
Well, yeah. Anyways, not looking forward to that. But Yeah, it's this like silver coin that has like a copper piece in the middle, and I know you're a big fan of hockey and Canada, and I just thought that was an interesting little tidbit that one of the coins was a toonie. I have one of those. So Blue Centurion has turned evil this episode, he's actually like in the middle of helping out like an wait, I don't think that that was actually this episode. I don't know if he was I no, that was the bee one. He was helping an old lady across the street, and then the bee ha or the fly happened, so I apologize.
Yeah, that's the next episode.
Yeah, he's getting messed with so much in this season. I feel so bad for Blue Centurion. But he's turned evil, and so he's fighting alongside Divatox, and you see him go up against TJ quite a bit, and TJ really doesn't want to fight him, but he has to. What do you think about like the fights between Blue Centurion and TJ in these episodes?
They're all right. I mean, it's hilarious to note that in the Millennium Message, it was stated that the Blue Centurion cannot be programmed to be evil, but apparently the wishing coin seems to be the loophole.
Yeah.
But no, it's because it's actually interesting because TJ actually initially takes on Wicked Wisher first in a fight, and then Divatox sends Blue Centurion down to attack TJ. So I mean it was an okay fight. I mean, it's whatever they probably had from the Sentai. I mean, we I don't think like I didn't really pay too much attention to the fight scenes. I was paying more attention to the story because,
Yeah.
it's easier to talk about that than it is to talk about fights sometimes. It's
Sure.
not like it's Ip Man taking on 10 Japanese dudes in during World War II.
Yeah.
So
I mean this story, I mean, I feel like because we're talking about the first part of a two-parter here, and the Rangers are kind of set up in this like kind of precarious situation where it's an interesting scenario because like there's a coin that can grant a wish, and Divatox is getting like foiled at every chance that she has to get this coin. So it winds up in the hands of Vulcan Skull, who I think at this point they're plumbers now.
who knows? They were
They're
tennis instructors the last episode. They're plumbers now. But
what
they
is
find
happening?
that, but you know what? Let's just skip to the end. They get the coin. Everyone's searching for this coin. And how do we end the episode? By them trying to use the coin to play pinball.
Which is a great choice. I love it. I love any time I get to see pinball represented, but like oh my God. Okay. They didn't just have a quarter. I guess they I don't know. Maybe they thought like, oh man, this'll get us whatever. But that happens in the next episode. I can't talk about that just yet. But yeah, they decide they're gonna play pinball with this magic wishing coin. I guess their wish is, man, I really, really want to get that bonus ball.
I want the high score to never be broken. Or I want to set the high score, which will never be broken.
I want my name on every one of these high score lists. This sets up an interesting scenario, and I think like there's more interesting stuff to talk about in the second episode, but like I don't know. I think like the fight scenes in this are pretty solid. I think the Wicked Wisher is one of the more interesting like it's one of the more interesting villains, like look wise anyways, and it's a very interesting like monster that can like, hey, I can grant wishes, like that could be used for a lot of different interesting things, I think. So it's just a shame that like he's not able to like he can only do like he has to use certain coins or something like that, or his power is like limited because he's older. I think that's an interesting like limiter on his. He can't just grant wishes like Yubitaka wants a million wishes. So.
Oh yeah, I mean, and that's like your typical like genie as well. It's like, you know, we've seen it, we saw it in Gyuranger with the genie, where it only got like what, three wishes, and which was adapted for Mighty Morphin. Again, I think that was also three wishes. So like, yeah, they just follow the standard story of like, yeah, it can only give out three wishes.
And you can't wish for more wishes.
Yep.
Doesn't
Sorry,
work.
Aladdin, you can't wish for more wishes.
Nope. No. Really, that's kind of all. I guess the only other question I have is like Elgar has hair, but then you see like the Sentai footage and he's bald again. How did he lose his hair?
Divatalk shaved his head.
Gotcha. She was jealous of it. She was like, I'm the only one that can have pretty hair on this ship.
On
Me.
this submarine, yeah.
So, but yeah, I thought this was an interesting episode, but like it's only one part of a two-part story, and I think we can talk a little more about this next time if you'd like.
Well, I mean, we are, because we're the
Yeah,
next episode too, so.
that is true.
It's going to
So,
happen, people. Just deal with it.
yeah, we're gonna go ahead and wrap up our thoughts in that next episode because cliffhanger, what's gonna happen with the coin?
It's going to play some pinball. It's just going to happen. Bulk and Skull are going to force that sucker in there.
He's gonna get that bonus ball. Yeah,
Bonus ball.
bonus ball. Pinball wizard. All right. Well, with that said, Mike, where can we find you on the World Wide Web, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch doing the gaming thing at twitch.tv/themichaelx75. And of course, everything is on the website, txthockey.com/x75productions. And then for the show itself, go to Twitter at @VFTG_PR and click on our link for the link tree that takes you to everything Voices from the Grid that's everywhere else in the World
Fantastic.
Wide Webs.
All right. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter at Wondering Geek. You can find me on TikTok at Blue Ranger B underscore Rye. You can also find me when I'm not hanging out with the X75 crew talking about the Power Rangers shows. I'm with Cast Wave Studios. And you can check out our newest show, Two Fat Guys Eat. Where two, three fat guys eat. And yeah, you can also find me on Instagram at Dragon22 as well.
All right. So with that, until our next more phenomenal episode, which will literally be Brian and I again, may the power protect you.